Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 18. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Jake, my man, what's up?
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody.
Yes.
I'm trying not to sniff a bunch, but I think them hot fries are getting to me.
The Slim Jim Fury,
yeah, the
Fury
Slim
fries?
Jim hot, discount fries.
They're not even
What's
that
better
hot,
than
though.
A discount
They're
fry?
Not.
I agree.
The Andy, really Andy Capp's hot fries are way better than that.
Shout out to Diablo fries from Arby's, by the way.
They kind of taste like Pringles a little bit.
Yeah.
I got like that Pringley taste.
Yeah, like if you get like the Flamin' Hot Pringles and they're kind of like a little bit hot, not really hot. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I haven't really had a chip or anything that's really put me down before.
So now it's 2 weeks. We got to do Sauce Quest. 2 weeks for sure. I will not be here for next week's podcast, by the way. Unless we can reschedule it. My wife is having a minor surgery, but hopefully we can reschedule a different day and we'll be here. But we weren't here last week, so we got a lot to go over.
Yeah.
We'll get right into it. Mr. Jake, what's
yes.
your thoughts on previous game, Cleveland Browns, Josh Allen?
I mean, the Cleveland game started off really rough. It just didn't look good. You got to give them credit for winning that game. And that snowfall we had was insane. I mean, here in Springville, we got what do you say, Jeff, 15 inches roughly
maybe
on a total?
15, 16, yeah, probably at best.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the stadium, by the way, there's no way they could have had that game there. It just wouldn't have happened. I don't care what you
traffic
would have
and
tried
and cleared
to do.
Until Monday night.
And hopefully by now everyone's figured that out, but that entire conversation of this is why we need a dome. Well, unless they're going to put a dome over the whole fucking town, it's not going to matter when we
Which
get a dome
I
like
said
that.
They could
it
do.
It wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
Anybody who ever saw the dome on whatever that was.
I've seen
on,
it.
It was like NBC
I
or ABC.
It. There
or
you go.
Over the whole town.
We just
town.
Need a dome that's like 25 miles wide.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll do it.
That snowfall, I mean, so it ended up being 81 inches in Orchard Park.
Yeah, in some locations.
Over a 24-hour period, which is a lot of snow, man. That's crazy.
I got a bone to pick with that, by the way. So there was Snowvember.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a lot of different phrases. Whatever happened to Snowmageddon? Like, that was one of my favorite phrases.
Snowmageddon?
Yeah, when we get a lot of snow, whatever happened to Snowmageddon?
I think having gone through like the COVID apocalypse, I think I'm kind of out of touch with the calling everything an apocalypse or an Armageddon.
That could be it. Maybe that's what it was. We're trying to kind of keep it cool.
If there was a Snowmageddon, that was pretty close to it, I'd be honest with you.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was a lot of fucking snow, dude.
We weren't there physically, but seeing it on social media, TV and all that, it just, how do you get 7.5 feet of snow in 24 hours? Like, how is that possible?
Dude,
I mean,
Would you agree that, to me, it seemed like there were more national news people in Buffalo this past weekend than I've ever seen before?
Well, and part of that is because there wasn't a national emergency. It was a very localized thing.
You're saying,
yeah.
Very localized.
Most of the time when we get major snowstorms, it happens all over the Northeast or, you know, other parts of the country are having other weird shit happen. Like,
yeah, well, we get like,
extremely
you know,
local.
Yeah, Jim Cantore a lot of times will come to Buffalo.
Yeah.
We've seen him in Springville occasionally.
Right.
You know, local news, definitely. But man, there was like this Reed Timmer guy who's like a storm chaser. Like there were tons of storm chasers. I always thought those guys just went after thunderstorms. But
there was thundersnow. They probably weren't interested
true.
In that.
That's true.
It was an anomaly, man. You just don't see that pounding of snow like in that short period of time. It just doesn't happen. I mean, that was the most snowfall ever recorded in a 24-hour period in New York State's history.
I don't think they've even sorted through all the records they possibly broke. One I heard was 5 inches in 1 hour, like might be an actual state record for snowfall.
It was insane.
It was
roughly it was averaging about 4 inches an hour, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
and shout out to everybody north of Springville who helped us maintain a pretty safe environment out here. Yeah, all you people in Hamburg and Orchard Park, you got pounded. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah,
well,
we did not.
If you, keep it out of our area, Springville, because the thing is,
because we have the ski slopes.
Well, the thing with us, I mean, we're basically a snow globe through the entire winter.
We are.
You know, I mean, we're going to see most likely 90 plus inches of snow down here, easy, and it just sucks because, I mean, we get pounded with it. The thing is, the up there, that's probably their brunt of what they're going to get this year. They'll get they'll get some snow up there. It'll happen.
No, but you're absolutely
right. But down here, it's going to be like, you know, in Springville or, you know, the ski country, day after day after day where it just snows, you'll get 4 inches, and the next day you get another 4, and the next day you get 3, and the next day it compiles.
Somebody said, and I don't know if it's accurate, don't come back at me about this, but somebody said that 81 inches in areas of Orchard Park, areas of Orchard Park, they had 81 inches is more than they actually had total in the winter season last year.
It is.
I mean, that's insane to me.
And when we see snow totals for the year, it's quite often that we do see Springville make the news in that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's why you build ski slopes around here, right?
Everyone else.
South of us.
Thank you for taking
a little
your
bit
turn.
North of us. Yeah, yeah. We got ski slopes in the neighborhood. So,
yeah. I mean,
traditionally, we get it. Like you said. And that has something to do with, I think, the lake temperatures, from what they were saying. That fire hose effect that set up over the lake. The lake was so warm that any air that was, like, coming from the south met up with that cold air coming from the west and created this like tunnel of snow that came straight up the lake in all places north and just sat there.
Yep.
Just sat there and sat there. Like the temperature's coming down into the lake already. Our turn is coming up real soon. Real quick.
It is nuts to see that band just whipping to the east in like a straight line.
Oh my God, that was like brutal, dude. Mm-hmm. It was so narrow.
Yep.
Like East Aurora, I mean, right now, like Lancaster.
They were talking about
Buffalo,
you could go a block and have a totally different environment.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Yeah. That's how crazy it is.
Pretty interesting shit.
Yeah. But.
But anyway,
kudos. Like when you're bringing it into the football world, kudos to all the Bills Mafia guys out there that were helping.
Thanks, dudes.
You know, I mean, our players were buried. You have guys like Singletary trying to walk through this stuff like a quarter mile just to get to a main road so he can get picked up.
It's no secret, Hamburg, Orchard Park, East Aurora, a lot of our players, obviously, close to the stadium, that's where they reside. So, yeah, they're right in the mix, you know, right in the worst of it. So
it's tough.
Good call,
shout out
absolutely.
To Squirrel Winners.
For sure. Bron, whatever his name is, the other neighbor. Right. I don't remember his name, but
nobody would remember his name.
It's because Squirrel Winners is too cool.
Squirrel Winners is like the
That's
guy.
That's just cool. That's just
I
cool.
mean, Josh gave him a shout out on national TV. So.
Dude, and like I heard people calling GR like they're on their way to fucking Detroit. They're driving either through Canada or along the lake to get to Detroit for the game. And bad for you, dude. I'm very sorry that you didn't get to see the game in person. I know that's what you really enjoy.
It wasn't my game to begin with anyway.
Oh,
so
okay.
It didn't affect me either way.
Oh, good.
I
was a little concerned that would be one of your games and that would suck.
No, I didn't have Cleveland. I have the Jets, Miami, and New England left. So all division games.
That's cool.
I was at the Minnesota game, which
unfortunately,
we didn't talk about that game because we were not present at the last podcast, but I was at the Minnesota game, and it was a great game all the way up until we lost, basically.
It was like Miami all over again. It was like every opportunity we had, shoot yourself in the fucking foot and get off the field.
Yeah, like, we were even trying to cheat our way to victory, and we didn't pull it off. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
12 men on the field.
Well, not to mention that, and the Gabe Davis catch.
Yeah.
It was, again, one of those games that you're just totally frustrated because you're so close. Like, I mean, absolutely so close to winning that game.
We had a 20-point lead, man.
Yeah,
going into
W's
the third
count,
or going into the fourth quarter, basically.
I don't know if I've ever been more disheartened than watching the end of that game.
That was frustrating. What a fucking shit show. It was like the last Kansas City last year in the playoffs. It was like Miami. It was just like
this was harder than that. Because at least that one, it was like a tight game and they pulled off the win and it didn't have anything to do with us like shitting the bed really, really hard. I mean, our defense sucked, obviously.
Right.
But like, come on. They had so many options to succeed, and they chose the dumbest option and fucked it up colossally.
See, like, and that's the thing.
That's the worst part.
We outplayed Miami by a bunch. We were toe-to-toe with Kansas City, and it was really good play, right? It was exceptional play. This one was just all the mistakes of Miami and worse. It was just like we couldn't get about our own.
It was
fucking
like a high school football.
But we outplayed them all the way until basically the fourth quarter, which is the worst part about it. We were up 27-10, dude.
You know, we're gonna make that the stat of the week. How many touchdowns have we scored in the second half of the last four games?
Zero.
Right.
No touchdowns.
And it's a stat that everyone knows, but it needs to be said.
Yeah, is that insane? I mean, we were the guys that didn't allow other teams to score touchdowns in the second half. That's who we are. Like, that's our team. And, you know, again, as much as it sounds like we're pissing all over the Bills, we're not directly blaming them completely. A lot of it is the injuries, obviously. This particular game, they had to basically pack up and move out of their own fucking stadium to play a football game.
Right.
Yeah,
at the last minute. Like, they literally had no time to get ready for this shit.
Well, it's tough because they had no time to practice at all right. during the week because of the storm. You know, you go to Detroit with basically a walkthrough the day of right. just to kind of try to get yourself somewhat mentally prepared for what you're going to do offensively and defensively. So, I mean, that's tough. You know, you're trying to really prepare for that.
You know, we're spending all our time trying to fan that black cloud over the Buffalo Bills that's been there for 17 fucking years until the new, you know, coach and GM get here. And now it seems like just once in a while that black cloud refuses to give way yeah. and allow this team to be what they are, which is exceptional football team.
Yeah, you just
the
get
injuries.
A lot of weird shit happens to us for
that's
some
what
reason.
I mean, like the,
well, I mean, a weather anomaly like that, you don't see it really. That doesn't happen to anybody else.
2 years ago, we don't know when we're going to play Kansas City. When are we playing Tennessee? COVID is in the way. God only knows. You know, like we don't even know who we're playing.
Well,
on a weekly basis.
And we had a similar discussion last year, and I think it's time to bring it back up again, is that when you figure out someone's strategy, you have to be able to adapt. I've never seen the Bills be less adaptable than we are right now. We're not pulling any weird trick plays.
I'm
we're 100%. Not changing up our formations. We're not fucking doing anything interesting.
Yeah, away from these mics, it's we've had that conversation.
It's obvious that they've got our number. That's not working.
Right. Whatever we're doing, like it's... whatever, if it's Sean McDermott, maybe Ken Dorsey, maybe we just miss Brian Daboll, whatever. Like, we even complained about him on occasion. But it makes no sense to me that we wouldn't try something unique. You know what I mean? Like, something out of the ordinary that kind of was our identity 2 years ago. When we went to the AFC Championship game, you know, it seemed like every game, at least once or two times, we pulled out something that nobody saw coming. And it just doesn't seem like we have that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we were more of a surprise type team then, too. People didn't right. really know that we were able to play at that caliber as well. Right now, and I'm not going to, you know, make an excuse saying like we're creme de la creme now, so we don't have to do stuff like that.
Right.
But maybe these coaches feel like they don't have to do that because of what we have on this roster now. I don't know. But the thing that we do have to do is get Josh to play out of his slump. You know,
right.
So whatever, because he's not seeing the field good. I mean, you see it on Cover One posting stuff on Twitter where he's missing guys wide open on crossing routes.
Yeah, we talked about
dig routes,
play like
stuff
that
like
today.
That. But yeah, it's just if Ken Dorsey can do something to get Josh out of his own head, which he kind of did against the Browns. If you look at it in that aspect, he got Dawson Knox
pulling on them reins pretty tight.
Well, he got Dawson Knox involved finally, which I think helped Josh.
It's huge.
Kind of
talked
just
about that for a while.
Yeah, it just kind of helped Josh settle in a little bit. I know Diggs obviously had an issue not getting the offense going in the first half,
right.
which can't
right.
blame the guy.
No,
but then our running game too.
He's a competitor, you know? That's what he wants to do.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say our running game actually kind of got rolling.
Yep.
Which, so, I mean, I think Dorsey tried to do some things to rein it back in for Josh. We didn't turn the ball over, which is huge.
Right.
So,
right.
It just, we got to get Josh out of his own head.
Yep.
I mean, he's obviously thinking about not turning the ball over, and that's a la Josh 2019, honestly, both years
for sure,
where he had those games where it was, you know, us going into a game as fans and watching Josh, and it's like, all right, like just rein it in, Josh, don't turn the ball over,
stay calm.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like these last three, almost four games, it's kind of, you get that same kind of feeling. It's like,
yeah, coming off the bye, it's just been iffy.
Yeah, isn't it kind of weird, too? I mean, we talked about this. Like, that first game after the bye, we win. That's Green Bay. Wasn't pretty. I get it. But we won. And then we dropped, like, two games in a row. And it's like history replaying itself over and over and over again.
Yeah.
We just struggle after. We can win that first game because we're prepared. We're ready for that game. But it seems like we're just out of sync. I know Sean McDermott just preaches in the preseason, we're going to play every game just like it's a regular game. So we have a rhythm. We have a pattern. Everybody knows what happens. And then it seems like you get away from that, you know? Yep. So, but like you said, they simplified the offense. I think they kept it pretty neat and clean. We were able to run the ball. They want to do that. And I know it was Cleveland. They were 3-6. I get it. But at the same time, maybe we're expecting a little bit too much all the time. Like I keep saying, I want to see the Josh Allen that played the LA Rams and the Tennessee Titans the first couple of weeks of the season, because he looked unworldly. He looked like that in the playoffs last year. Like those two games at the end of last year and beginning of this year, he literally looked like a god. I mean, like he was just unstoppable.
He was playing great.
Yeah. And so I think I got a little spoiled. Like I'm thinking that's like the norm. He's going to do that every week, week in and week out.
We all did, you know. Yeah, we all, because I mean, going into the season, I mean, let's be honest, the expectations were set right at the. I mean, going into, I would say, OTAs and then training camp, it was pretty much set that the Bills were favorites to win the Super Bowl
for sure,
and then it stayed there, and I think it's still there. I think they're still
favorite to win the Super Bowl.
But yep. I mean, as Bills fans, right? Like, when was the last time we went into a season where our team was scheduled to be the Super Bowl favorites?
The team 90, to beat, right?
94 maybe.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I guess going into a season like that, when you're a fan our whole lives like we've been, it's like, holy shit, like these guys are that good? Is that really what we have right now? And then your expectations
are
going to be high, because and you have Josh Allen, which the kid's playing phenomenal football the last 3 years.
Yep, absolutely.
So
it's, and you know he's going to be he is and will continue to be an elite quarterback. That hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
It's not like he forgot how to play football. But we were so spoiled after being so disappointed for so many years.
Well, there's a balance to be found between managing your expectations and actually having the team play up to what they should.
Right.
You know, and we're way off the mark on both, I think.
I agree. Yeah, that's really good. Well, good way to say it.
Being way off on the mark, too, is like we got to expect that even though Josh is a elite quarterback in this league now, we have to expect that he is human. And he's going to have bad games,
right?
Or he's going to have a stretch of bad games. It just happens. I mean, it happens to the best of the best, and it just does. I mean, it happened to Pat Mahomes last year. They were 5-4
at one point.
You know, going into week 10, and you know he ended up. I think he had the league leading interception rate at that point. I think he had like 7 or 8.
Yep.
So it happens.
Yeah, and earlier this year we were talking about that. We were talking about how it seems like all these elite quarterbacks that are supposed to be the top of the top are all failing. Something's happening. They're all struggling. But at the time I assumed that we somehow had escaped that. It was just like Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes had somehow avoided it. And I guess maybe that's not true.
Well, it's a real fine line, I think, between those two things. When you're, first of all, if you're Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, even Aaron Rodgers, everybody looks at you as being, again, unstoppable for the most part. But I mean, look what happened to Aaron Rodgers. Now, the difference is Aaron Rodgers is obviously much older than either Mahomes or Allen. You could say a same like Tom Brady. Same thing. He doesn't look like what we've grown accustomed to when it comes to Tom Brady. I think they're about 500 right now in Tampa. But you know, I mean, that's a different thing. That's two players that have been playing for a very, very long time.
Who are tired and want to retire.
Yeah, it's starting to show, you know.
Yeah, their eliteness is starting to dwindle down. But, I mean, look at, like, imagine being a Pats fan back in the, you know, mid-2000s when they were dominant as all can be.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we you know, they come into Buffalo, like, 2004, was it? 2003. And we end up beating them 31-0, the Bills. You know, imagine being a Pats fan, being like, "What in the world?" Yep. You know, and that kind of translates to the same thing.
Yeah,
it's been a while since
somebody was undefeated and went all the way to the Super Bowl and won.
Yeah,
it's happened one time, and what was that? 72 or 82? 72, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean that perfection in the NFL is a pretty fleeting thing. You're hard to have bad games.
Yeah. No matter who you are.
Injuries, the Bills might have won that Jets game, even as close as it was, if we didn't suffer the injuries we had, even at that time, on the defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's gotten worse. Like, we thought it would get better. Ed Oliver comes back. Jordan Phillips comes back. Gabe Davis gets healthy. And now it just seems like it's repetitive. Now it's Tremaine Edmonds.
We were lucky last year to have a healthy team. Look at San Diego. Look at, there's a lot of teams that are injured,
So to extrapolate off of what we were just talking about, do you think that working more towards the run game like we did in this last game, which I think we posted, 150 rushing yards maybe, between our two running backs?
It was 86 and 86, so...
Yeah, so 160. So...
Yeah, 170.
Yeah. So do you think that's because of a management of expectations and learning what Josh's limits are, or is it a lack of confidence in Josh?
No, I don't think it'd be a lack of confidence in Josh. I think that they saw weakness in the Browns' defense that we could exploit, which we did. And I also think it was obviously in the game plan, in their back pocket to at least just kind of alleviate the pressure off of Josh, because we know how much he carries on his back.
Right.
On a game-to-game basis, he tries to do everything. So I think this team, this coaching staff, wants to just take pressure off of him so he can still play at a high level without having to do everything, and the run game worked finally, and that's kind of what we need to do.
And I think you nailed it, because we talked about when we played Minnesota, I think we had little under 500 yards, 480 some yards, yet Josh Allen accounted for like 414 of them. He had like 86 yards rushing and 330 yards passing. Some ridiculous thing. You shouldn't expect one player to account for 80% of your scoring or
there will be a burnout eventually.
Or whatever. For sure.
There'll 100% be a burnout.
And Josh Allen carries his heart on his sleeve, man. Him and Diggs, I think they get along so well, is because they're driven by passion to play football and to win. And that is one thing I absolutely love about this team. We talked about the lack of passion coming from the field when they're playing. That part bothers me a little bit. Josh Allen gets pissed off, but he mainly gets pissed off at himself. He's slamming his helmet on the ground, or kicking something because he's mad he made a mistake or whatever. But a lot of the players, I don't know. What game was it when we talked about the fact that somebody pointed out it just looked like the other team wanted it more? Was
Jets game.
The Jets.
Game, right? Like, that's not what
out of the gate, it was like you could smell it.
You said it. From the time Josh Allen came running out of the tunnel, it just looked like something wasn't quite right. Something was off. So that part, to me, would be the most disturbing part of all of it. Getting more out of your run game, absolutely. Expecting a little bit less from your superstar quarterback, perfect. It should be. Oh, man, that's a noise that you can just play on a loop for me. That's a sweet sound, baby.
That'd be like your alarm to wake up to.
But anyways, yeah. So all of that. I get all of it. And what they did this past game, and I think we talked about it, I looked every play, found nothing out of the ordinary. Runs up the middle, runs left, runs right, short middle, deep middle, passes left, right. There was no reverses. There was no nothing crazy, nothing, no flea flickers, jet sweeps. It was just very basic, simple.
Yeah, and now we don't
protect
need
your quarterback.
We don't need trick plays, so to speak. But no. we need plays that are going to catch the other team off guard.
Yeah, challenging plays. Challenge the defense. Right.
Innovation, right. Like innovation, something that's unique that the other team couldn't have possibly expected.
Something they're not going to see on film.
Right. Something, exactly.
Something they're not going to be completely prepared for. That it's not. Again, we're not saying, it needs to be some sort of like crazy trick play, like a double flea flicker, reverse, blah, blah, blah. Just something that Dorsey can just get into the game plan that's going to be a little different.
Even safe, simple things. That one play, I don't remember who was against, Josh Allen kind of tucks the ball and runs towards, he's like they're at their 5 or 8 yard line. So he tucks the ball like he's going to run. He gets to the line. And he literally stops because everybody's coming to him. Dawson Knox is wide open in the end zone. He just flips it over their heads. You know, I mean, that's not that difficult. That's not a hard play.
Even during the game when we're pounding the rock and we're actually like, we're, you know, chunking them, right?
Right.
And I kept saying to Nicole, we're watching the game together, and I'm like, right now is a perfect time to play action hard. Play action hard.
Yep.
And you're gonna catch them. And they never did. And I'm like, I just don't understand that. Like, that should be like such a mindset at that point when you're pounding them.
And play, we talked action, about man. That. Like we've removed the RPO and the play action from our game, not entirely, but a lot.
Well, it's just
like,
ineffective when they do it too, because
right.
they're doing it at a time where, you know, we may have ran the ball ineffectively 5 or 7 times or whatever. Well,
and
have you?
And
you know?
That's the thing, man. Like, we have, like, to be playful, the Happy Gilmore of a quarterback.
Right.
Like, he can do amazing things. But when a player like that who achieves victory off of being an outlier all of a sudden has an injury or something that's affecting them mentally and they're no longer an outlier, you have to find a way to get that edge back. And I don't think that just doing simple run plays is going to work every time. It worked against Cleveland. It might not work next week. So I hope they have something in their back pocket if Josh doesn't perform at that level that he did in the first few weeks.
Yeah, and I'm scared they won't have anything this week.
Right.
Because it's a short week. They got to play in 4 days. Like, they play on Sunday and then Thursday. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You got 3 days to prep for a football game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to change too much, it just seems like, is too much. That's asking too much. But exactly what you were saying, we've talked about this over the course of this mini slump, is the degree of the play action passes has drifted to not non-existence, but they used to run it a lot more. And I don't know if it's complicated or if there's other reasons, but we don't have a lot of guys in motion very often. They managed to keep Diggs out of the playbook until 3-4 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, second quarter.
I mean, yeah.
Second quarter is when we scored that touchdown late to go up. Yep.
But it was late. I mean, couldn't have been more than 2-4 minutes left in the first half when he did that.
Yeah.
Like, so they took him away completely. But to me, that says is maybe you look to somebody else more often.
When you go back to look at some of the film that, especially, again, Cover One was posted on their Twitter account, Diggs wasn't being taken away. Josh was just not seeing the field, right, man. I mean, he had a few in, you know, up and in plays, or,
well, we
you
looked
know,
at one
crossers.
I know together.
Yeah, I was watching, you know, probably a good handful of them, but Josh just wasn't seeing them. He just wasn't seeing what he wanted to see. The problem that Josh is having right now is he's locking onto his first read. If it's not there, he's not progressing like he has tremendously good in the first half of the season.
Right.
He takes off running. So again, he's not trusting his eyes. He's not seeing the field as good as he should right now.
Well, and part of that, I think, comes from the offensive line is failing him to an extent.
Yeah.
I saw him get crushed so many times in this last game by multiple people. It's
right.
One thing if somebody slips through and gets you once in a while. Like, I understand that's going to happen. But when you get 3 or 4 plays in a row where 3 guys make it to the quarterback, something's wrong. And you can't expect him to have the confidence to wait and pick the best target when he thinks he's going to get destroyed.
Yeah, we talked about it. Like, one player seems to be that individual on a weekly basis based on the defense. Like, Myles Garrett's a hell of a fucking
that's a guy.
Player, man. He's tough to stop. And
really
Minnesota
tough.
Minnesota had those couple of guys where Spencer Brown was getting
I was going to talk about him.
On a regular basis, you
I
know?
I feel like I saw Spencer Brown fucking up a lot. I mean, I don't want to call the guy out. I'm sure there was a lot of things
going
on.
Oh, he had a bad
but
game against Minnesota. There's no doubt about it.
He did. He did. And again, it kind of goes back to game plan, right? So maybe first half you see this pass rush is just getting upfield hard on Josh, and he's having trouble getting to his receivers quick. So start throwing in some screens. Start throwing in some wide receiver screens.
Or some quick
draws.
Quick throws.
Something.
Yeah, 2-step drop and throw.
Because when you get guys like rushing up the field that are getting up quick, there's 2 things you can do to alleviate that is you're drawing them in, little dump off screens,
yep,
little quick you know, you pull out and you're throwing two. I mean, what happened slants to using McKenzie to for a little jailbreak screen? Right. Or it just seems, and again, it goes back to what we're saying with Dorsey. It feels like he's not adjusting to what needs to be adjusted
in game
for what the defense is doing or giving us, and it's tough. And
I almost wonder if Cleveland did a better job taking advantage of that two-step quick pass. Like Jacoby Brissett looked pretty good.
He did.
You know what I mean? But he was getting rid of the ball pretty quick. That was their game plan,
yeah.
Yeah, our defenders were pretty ineffective. You know, they were taken out of the game because they didn't have an opportunity. He was getting rid of the ball fast.
Well, you know what's crazy about that is they have Deshaun Watson back, and he was running the scout team, and he was doing what Josh Allen would do for their defense, which is huge for them. But yeah, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, we put all our ducks in to stop the run, and we did successfully, but they were torturing us in the passing game, and that shouldn't happen with Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he's a fine backup quarterback, but come on, man. I mean,
I agree.
We snuffed out three Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the beginning of the season, and Jacoby Brissett's throwing for 340 yards against us. Like,
yeah, and I apologize, Jace. I did kind of talk over you there for a second. So what were you going to say? Do you remember?
Well, I was going to say maybe we should just touch a little bit on Trey White.
Yeah, that's a tough one, dude. That's a really great point again. But where the fuck is he? What's the deal?
Well, McDermott said, I was just reading a quote from McDermott earlier, and he said, we're working on getting Trey constantly. Game ready. No, he just said he's like, we're all working on Trey, and it's one day at a time. So that tells you, that comment right there tells you Trey's mentally not in it.
Right.
He's just not.
Can't trust it yet.
And they're trying to get him ready mentally. I think it has nothing to do with physical at this point. It has to do with mentally getting him ready to play, and whatever they're doing mentally to get him to play. I mean, like you said earlier, Jeff, it's like, almost you just say, look, Trey, you're dressing, you're starting. That's our decision, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Like, how else do you get him to go?
We'll let you play 20 to 30% of the snaps. We're not going to pressure you. We're going to bring you in a couple of series, let you try to get used to the idea because there is nothing medically wrong with your life.
Just throw him to the wolves. How else do you get someone ready to go at that point when they're mentally just not ready to go?
Like, how do you ever trust it if you don't ever try it? Like, practice is practice.
Yeah.
They're not going hard. They're not trying to take each other out. They're just going through the motions. He needs to get into a game. He needs to get hit.
Yep.
He needs to jump and land on that leg and know that it's going to support him.
100%.
Like Harrison Phillips, when he missed an entire season and he came back, he did not look like the same player almost for the first half of the season. He started coming on towards the end. Because that's how long it took before he started actually believing his leg could support him.
Yep.
And I think that's what's going on.
And let's hope it doesn't take that long, because now you're talking about midway next season before he's actually back to full strength.
Or start of next season.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. We need him desperately. And I think
I think the coaching
staff is trying to portray that to him. And again, whatever they're doing to get him mentally ready, it seems like they're working at it hard at this point, because even McDermott's saying it. Yeah, I know, man. And they keep saying he's real close. Like Leslie Frazier, his last comment was, Trey's very, very close.
Right.
Whatever it is, that little hurdle, we got to get him over that.
Yeah, I think it's getting the armor on, getting out there and giving it a shot. And I would not anticipate him playing a full game. I would easily like to see him play 25 to 30% of the snaps, man. Just get in there, work it a little bit, start to trust it.
Are we going
to
give him? Are they at the point where it's like you give him ultimatum? You know,
unfortunately, or what do you come do? To that,
you know,
tough love, whatever you want to call it, or just I don't know. I'm certainly no psychiatrist either. Like, I don't know what the answer is, but yeah. I do know that this team needs help on defense, and these injuries are like stacking up.
Yeah,
you mentioned Trey Edmonds might be gone for a while.
It doesn't seem like he's gonna be playing this game, so we're gonna be without him most likely.
That's a problem.
It also seems like Ryan Bates is gonna be starting at center based on what they shown during practice today. He was Josh was taking snaps from him. So that's an issue. I mean, and let's be honest, like Jason said earlier, like our offensive line's been shaky, man.
Right.
It just hasn't looked great, you know, across the board. Honestly, yep. It just hasn't. So when you're missing your starting center, I mean, Ryan Bates is a good ball player, but
yep.
that is not his position, you know.
We actually had our best running game to date this year, I think. You know, James Cook got, 11 carries? He was involved in the game.
Yep.
And I think that'll keep going. You know, that's a very positive thing to come out of this game. There were some positive things to come out of this game. Matt Milano made his case for Defensive Player of the Year.
Continuing to do
just
it.
Just keeping that rolling, which is very good. You know what I mean? That's awesome. Poyer was back. He looked good.
He did. He looked hot, too. He was fired up, man.
Hopefully he stays with us and, you know.
Yeah, it's just our weak point right now is 100% our corners. I mean, it's just Dane Jackson can't get his head around.
He's not a number one, man.
You know?
I mean, he's just not.
Benford is a 6th-round rookie. Yep. I mean, what else can you say about that? He's just not ready yet. And,
Taron Johnson is still, he's like a really good nickel guy, but
he can only do so much.
Right.
When you have weakness in your backfield like that, it you know, you're exposed more because, like, when you have Trey White in there, he's able to shut down one half of the field, man.
Right.
You know?
For sure.
And that's huge for your other side of the field. You got, you know, Taron Johnson, he's able to play tighter because of that. You got your other corner that he might be able to take more chances over that side because you have one half the field pretty much shut down. You know?
And it's a little easier to play freer when you don't have the pressure
exactly
of Dane Jackson having to be our number one corner.
Yeah, it's like, just not.
There's a hell of a lot less pressure when he knows Trey White's on the other side.
Well, it's a problem. I mean, Justin Jefferson is an unbelievable wide receiver.
He really is.
But, when he plays against us and he has 193 yards receiving, and then the next week, and Dallas is a good defense, but they're not that much better, or I wouldn't even say they should be better than the Bills when we're at full strength, especially at full strength.
But
Dallas shut him down to 33 yards receiving.
Yep.
The week before, when Miami plays the Browns and they beat him, Amari Cooper had, again, 30-something yards receiving.
Right.
He plays us. He has 113 yards.
Right.
Yep. You know, and it I mean, that shows you where the problem was.
Oh, for sure.
So,
you know, and that's what I mean. It's funny because sometimes the numbers lie a little bit, right? Like, he's even against the Jets, it wasn't like the defense was spectacular. And granted, we held them to 20 points, was it, or 23, whatever it was.
No, they just ran all over us.
Yeah, but they ran all over us, and we couldn't stop them in key situations where we needed the ball back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just couldn't. And, I mean, it's sad because against Browns, we kick 6 field goals. You know, if it's even a handful of those are touchdowns, you're tacking on a bunch more points, and it actually kind of looks like a blowout. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because that's where our offense should be. But we just couldn't make that play when we needed to make it to get that touchdown.
Yeah,
we're settling for field goals again. Great. Worked out fine against the Cleveland Browns. But guess what? In a couple of weeks, we got New England. We got Cincinnati coming up. We get into playoffs. We're talking about teams like Baltimore, which is coming on, man. Baltimore is like they won last, I think, 3 out of the last 4. They've been looking pretty good.
They didn't look good last week against the Panthers. They struggled, man.
No. They did, you know, but it's I'm just saying, week, like, you get you into know? Playoffs, you just don't know what you're going to be facing. But we got Miami coming up again. We got some good teams we got to play, and we can't be kicking field goals.
No, I know. I just keep saying to myself, get us in the playoffs. Just get us in the playoffs. That's right.
I think that's where
we're at, man. Yeah.
I think we're going to make the playoffs.
It's getting to the point, though, where I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about it. Just because you know how these division games can go with Buffalo.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm less nervous about the playoffs. I'm more nervous about the division. Like, I mean, minimally, the best way to get into the playoffs and position yourself well is with a division win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We want
but
division
that
wins.
Part's tough right now. That
we want conference looking, and division wins. Yeah,
yeah, that's looking more questionable at this point. I brought up to Jake earlier. I think within the next month, within the next 4 games, you're going to start to see the old Buffalo Bills. And I think they will be dominant again. I really hope this offense will get this shit together.
We'll figure it out.
And if only because it's not very fun to watch these games. just so fucking frustrating.
Part of the play calling, too. I mean, that builds excitement when you do mix it up a little bit. You look at something unique. I mean, I remember the last time this team tried a fake punt like last year one time.
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I don't even remember seeing a fake field goal. But, you know, it seems like it just... Then I'm not saying we should do that every game. I'm just saying once in a while.
You're just all about seeing the trick play, aren't you?
Well, I bring it up.
I like
plays,
them too, man.
I bring
like
it up
too.
The trick play, but it's more about the unique play. Like everybody loves watching Josh Allen catch a fucking touchdown. I mean, I live for that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying we need to do that all the time, but it just kind of sucks when you're watching your team fall to other teams who do run some more creative plays than what you do.
My thing is, I think that what we've talked about this too, I think you brought this up before, that McDermott's playing Moneyball right now, right? When he's drafting players, he's basically going for find something that somebody's excellent at, get him for that position. As long as everyone on the team has something that they're really good at statistically, we should be fine.
Right.
That's what it feels like the Bills have been trying to do for the past 4 years.
Right.
But that means that each one of those key players is really important. And when you have injuries and people underperforming, you have to have something else. Or you're now basically just a substandard team.
Right.
So having those trick plays and an interesting playbook and something to confuse the defense is all the more important. That's
very well said, because what happens when you lose a player for multiple games, your depth player, that guy you're so proud of because he's great depth, he's not depth anymore. He's a starter.
Yep.
So who's behind him? Who becomes the depth player? Do you have enough depth that you can dig two or three deep and not lose a step or two?
Yeah, we're certainly not rotating players out anymore on the defense. You know, we can't do that when we don't have the guys.
Yeah, like we talked about Cam Lewis against Minnesota played almost that entire game, it seemed like, on defense. He didn't play a single snap on defense this week.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Whether that's some sort of punishment or whatever.
No, it's not punishment. I mean, he just didn't play well.
Right. But that's your depth, right? Those are part of your depth. Cam Lewis, he's a depth guy. Dane Jackson, starter, but not a number one starter. Not in most people's book. You know what I mean? Like, so a lot of our guys are being expected to not only do more, but do it for more than one game. We want these guys to step up, next man up, might be for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Like it's, and now there's somebody behind him that's a rotational player that maybe is called up from the practice squad. Like, is he really that good of a depth player when he's already the second or third, fourth string guy?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I look at it as like a pitching rotation in baseball, right? You know,
right.
you have your like three key starters. Your guys that are going to be in your rotation that are going to be your aces, right?
Right.
And you know what I'm talking about. Your guys that are your aces, you guys that you rely on heavily to win you games. And then you have
your younger
rotational
guys
that you will start to give your aces rest. And then you have your bullpen, which is essentially like your depth guys, right?
Right.
And I look at it like that, because in football, especially at certain positions, you want to have guys that are going to be immediate backups that can just roll right in and hopefully start when an injury goes down. And then you have guys that are going to have to back those guys up as a rotation, which could be either another depth guy or, like you said, a practice squad guy. And it's tough because you have to rely on your aces so heavily. And sometimes your aces during a game are just going to get pounded. It just happens. Like, your ace could be, you know,
ace gets pounded.
Kick your ace in a minute.
Well, sometimes aces just happen to get pounded, Jay.
I mean, a good example of that is Damar Hamlin. Fantastic player. But you've got Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. So you've got shit covered pretty good until you lose Micah Hyde for a whole season. So now it's Poyer and Hamlin. But what's behind them?
Like, who
comes after that? Because when Poyer went down,
it was Jaquan Johnson.
It's Jaquan Johnson. You're going, yeah,
I don't know.
That's
why they went out and got Marlowe.
Because now you're going from Micah Hyde, to Jaquan Johnson. You know, a super dude. I mean, he's a good ball player, but he isn't Micah Hyde. He's not Jordan Poyer.
He's a special teams guy.
So you can't say, well, we're just as strong as we were there before.
And that's exactly why they went and got Dean Marlowe.
He hasn't used him yet or played. I have no idea.
He got some snaps play a little bit, yeah. against. I can't remember. I don't know if it was a Jets or whoever.
Yeah, whatever.
But
I don't remember. But it's just, we talked about this all the time. They bring in like Nyheim Hines, and it doesn't seem like he plays right away. And you got James Cook, but he's limited. Shakir still has yet to carve out a role, right, with any regularity.
Yeah, I don't know. But
it feels like a lot of our assets are like ineffectual at the moment. Correct. Like what the fuck's going on with Isaiah McKenzie? Gabe Davis is dropping shit all the time. Like, how are we supposed to succeed?
I think we threw like four or five passes short over the middle. Josh Allen threw like, I think it was five maybe. Singletary caught one, and I think Dawson Knox caught one.
He was like, their short, like, yard receiver, Dawson Knox was, out of those seven grabs he had.
Yeah, but, like, nothing to Isaiah McKenzie. I don't know if he had a catch. I don't even know.
Dude, well, didn't you say he was less than 50% over the middle or something like that?
Yeah.
Isaiah McKenzie, like that, honestly, isn't a problem. He hasn't been part of our offense this entire season.
Right.
I mean, he really hasn't.
Occasionally he'll come in, he'll catch a few balls.
It doesn't seem like a big deal until it all adds up.
Right. Well, like we talked about, Dawson Knox... Like last year, he was in the red zone. He was like invaluable. I don't remember how many. What do you have? 9 touchdowns? 11 touchdowns?
Yeah, in the red zone. He was great.
The playoffs, he was a killer.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And then this year, he just had his first decent game. 7 catches, 70 yards. I mean, that's really good.
They finally utilized him like they should. I mean, he's a guy that. Yeah,
but it's a head scratcher why you don't see him for tremendous amounts of time.
Is that a fairy? Like, what's going on here?
Is that you or me?
I have no freaking Jeff clue.
Probably didn't put his phone on silent again.
Like you? No, probably not.
I put mine on silent.
An update. Sabres are up 3-1. That was
seriously
very important
on an 8-game losing streak. We're winning finally.
Yeah, well, that's because we're doing this.
Thank God we're not a Sabres podcast. Fucking.
Oh God.
Dude,
for
I
how
was
excited,
so excited
everyone was at the beginning of the season. Yeah.
I put $5 on them making the playoffs, man.
How do you go?
Don't tell anybody.
How do you win 10 out of 14 to start the season, and then you go on 8 straight losses? Like that's
who do you
tough.
Think you are?
That's horrible.
That's tough. You know?
Tage Thompson's still playing really good. You know?
That one might have been me.
Jesus Christ. You guys.
This is real life.
Your real life phone could be on silent.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part.
You know, that'd be cool.
Fuck it, we're doing it live.
That's right.
We're
gonna
muting
do a live broadcast at some point.
It's live.
Hold on, somebody's on the phone.
Well, while we're sitting here talking about stuff, well, how about we talk about the matchup we have here on Thanksgiving against the Lions?
You know, that's true. We're kind of running a little bit late here. Let's.
We got to quit the bitching about other shit and talk about the
Lions.
And we're
playing in Detroit against Detroit.
We are playing in Detroit against Detroit.
We're playing in Detroit. It's an away game.
So second week in Detroit, which
one home, one away. I love that. Back to back games in Detroit. One's a home game, one's an away game.
Well, actually, yeah. The funny thing is, we took the away locker room in our home game so we could just stay all our shit there for the away game. But
makes sense.
All right. So this matchup going into this, we are 9.5-point favorites. We're facing the 32nd worst defense in the NFL based
on
points allowed.
So that would put
allowed,
like dead fucking last.
Points allowed. They allow 20.
There's still 32 teams in the league?
25 points a game they allow right now.
That means you might actually be able to hit 25 points in a game. That'd be nice.
I would hope so. Yeah. I mean, Detroit, like you said, has been pretty effective on offense. They still struggle on defense.
They still score a lot of points on offense.
Last time I looked, they were pretty tight, like almost 50-50, like they score as many points as they give up, kind of a thing. So you're gonna have
They're scoring right around 25 a game.
You're gonna have to play well on defense. So hopefully we have a few horses back that can make a difference. You know, they're not world beaters by any means. No, T.J. Hockenson's gone.
They have some guys that you have to
kind of weird
prepare for though. You know, they got DeAndre Swift.
Absolutely,
Jared Goff can play fairly well at times. And they have Roman St. Brown, whatever his name is.
Amon Ross St. Brown,
whatever his name is. Yeah. So, I mean, he's decent, but we've prepared for Jared Goff a few times already. We beat him. Yep. So, I don't know.
Is his name really Amon Ra? That's a badass fucking name.
Yeah, it's like A-M-O-N.
Amon Ra.
Yeah, it's like an Egyptian god.
Amon Ra.
Amon Ra.
Amon Ra.
St. Brown.
Yep. Somewhere around there.
But so somewhere between Catholicism and Egyptian, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
Thaddeus.
That's not Thaddeus. That's not even close.
That's Greek.
What the fuck does that have to do with it?
That pause was everything for me.
Like,
I love that.
It was like we just drifted into some area I don't even know. But anyway, back to Detroit. You're right. They can put up points, but they give up a ton. I mean, I don't know how much you want to cover. Are we ready to like jump into players and see who we think are going to excel?
Yeah, I think we should probably call it. I mean, we've done a lot of bitching today.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Bills players.
I'm just going to this game. I'm really not worried that we're going to lose this game.
Same here.
I just want to be improved against a bad team.
I think it would be a good one to start getting right.
Yes,
you know, even if we don't nail it 100%, let's see some larger play. You know, like deep passes, some chunk plays, things like that. Maybe break a run. James Cook gets loose. You know, something like that.
The only guy I'm legitimately worried about, and it's not because I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan, is Aiden Hutchinson, the rookie out of Michigan, the defensive end.
He's a good player, man.
He's a beast. Very good. A high motor. He's a very good D end.
Is he line up against Dawkins on that side?
He is their left defensive end, so he'll be going against our right tackle, whoever. Ooh, if that's Spencer or Questenberry. So, I mean,
they might want to roll somebody his way.
He's going to be, Josh is not his blind side, but he's
that's
good.
Where he likes to move.
He's good,
like, when Josh moves, he loves to roll right.
To his right, yep.
So,
Aiden's,
that's going to create some problems.
Yeah, he's a guy that you definitely are going to have to pay attention to in this game.
Yeah,
he's made some big plays the last few weeks. So,
all right. So here's the cool thing. I'm gonna throw this out there.
Is you making a shitload of noise the cool thing?
Yes. Well, I got this paper thing.
It's a receipt.
Make me a little bit crazy
from the chips.
Could be from the hot chips. No. So I think what we should do, because of the injuries and because of the current offensive play, we're gonna open up player of the game is anybody. If you want, you think Josh Allen's going to turn this ship around and he's going to be.
So we're just picking one guy.
We're just picking one guy on offense and defense, but we've kind of stayed away from Diggs and Josh. Both of those guys had, okay games, but pretty moderate.
Tell me that was you.
Is that me?
Holy shit, that's awesome. The trifecta.
My phone was on silent, though.
Oh, so it could have been me. Maybe it was me then.
Yeah, it had been you.
I actually silenced mine, so. I only make my mistakes once.
I couldn't remember.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Yeah. All right. So offensive player of the game.
Just one guy. It can be literally anybody. Preferably somebody who's probably going to play this week.
Okay.
And you get to go first, Jake.
Offensive player of the game.
Offensive player of the game. Detroit Lions.
I'm going to give it to. Boy, I want to say a wide receiver, but I'm not going to do that. Is that you, Jeff?
I don't think. Was it? I don't know.
Do you know how to silence your phone?
Yeah, but I kind of hate to do it now because we're almost done. But
he just likes the continuous interruption.
Fucking bugging me about shit all the time. All
right, who's got a player?
Jason's going to have to, edit most of this out. So I want to say it was going to be a wide receiver, but I'm not going to go that route.
Oh yeah, you just said that.
I'm going to go James Cook. I think he's going to build off that game against the Browns, and he's going to have a fairly monster game. If they give him the option to do so, I think he can have a monster game. So I'll go with James Cook.
He only had like one target, no catches. So he's definitely a running back. All right. You got James Cook.
Right.
All righty.
All right.
I will go with Dawson Knox because
he's a good
obviously
game.
Capable of it, and we need to start using him more, and Josh might actually be able to see him.
And are you saying Josh struggles to see people who aren't tall?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. I like both of those. I really do. But I think I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. I think he's going to get back on track.
Didn't you just say we were supposed to not say Josh or Diggs?
No. We open up so we can use anybody because neither one of them are playing.
The brief.
They're not playing otherworldly at the moment. Gotcha. But yeah, I think Diggs will bounce back. I think the team will bounce back offensively. I think they're going to put up some points. So I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring for Stephon Diggs.
Nice.
Cool.
Defense.
I'm going to go at Oliver. He was showing last game he was in the backfield really a lot. I mean, I
thought he might have been injured there. Thank God it wasn't anything serious.
Yeah. He was in the backfield a ton, and yep. I think he's going to continue to cause disruption. Did you tell me earlier, Jeff, they had two or three offensive linemen out this game so far?
Or ruled out? They said they had like seven players that have been ruled out for this game, but it was confusing. So they said some could come back for the game. I don't know. But, yeah, at the time, they had three interior offensive linemen.
If that holds up, if that's the case, I think Ed Oliver's going to eat, and he's going to have a big game this week. So
I like that.
I'll go with Jordan Poyer.
Very nice. Very nice.
He looked hungry.
Yes. That's actually a really, really good call, man. That's a good one. Again, guys that you can count on. And I'm going to go with somebody that I know is healthy, who recently has seemed to be like almost there but not quite there. I want to go with Milano, be honest with you, but I'm not. I'm going to go with Von Miller. I think especially with some injuries on the offensive line, if that holds true, they may try to move guys towards the middle of that offensive line to help protect against Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, Daquan Jones. You know, I think they'll probably try to cover double team guys there, and it's going to open up an opportunity, I think, for Von Miller to get.
Yeah, Von Miller was all but there like a bunch of times at the end of the game.
Goff
is not a
rabbit, man. He's not an elite runner, so.
I
think he's going to have some opportunities.
Oh, big time.
Me too.
Big time. Final scores, guys?
Who wants to go first? I don't.
I'll go first. Since they're giving up 25 points a game, I'm going to say we're scoring over that. And I think our offense will be on track a little bit better this week. So I'm going to give us 34, and I'll give the Lions 17.
Wow. That would be a good one.
I'm going to go a little closer. I'm going to say, let's do 27-21.
Nice. I like both of those. I'm thinking potentially that Detroit could score more points, but I think the Bills can outscore them by a bunch. So I'm thinking more around that 42-27 mark.
Wow.
Yeah. Very nice. Like I say, I think it's going to be an opportunity for the Bills to start getting right. I think they'll try to run the ball, and I think they're going to end up having to air it out. It's in a, you know, it's again indoors. It's in a dome stadium. This is going to be an opportunity to kind of maybe come up with some of those different plays and get guys open.
It was a dome stadium last time.
Yards
too.
After catch. I get it. Yeah, same for dome sure. Stadium. I know.
Same dome
but
stadium.
But I hope you're right, man. It'll make the game a lot more fun to watch.
I guess
Either way, man, we're 3-0 on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to be 4-0 this week, however you want to spin the score.
Yeah, it's going to be a 4-0. 8-3 is a pretty number, too.
8-3 is going to be nice.
8-3 is going to be a nice. We're going to have to win a bunch of games because we got to catch Kansas City. We just got
to. Jason, tell them how to listen to End of the Drought podcast, fella.
You can find us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at ETD Buffalo. And you can catch us on anchor.fm for our podcast, as well as anywhere else that you might happen to want to listen, whether it's Spotify, Apple, whatever.
Everybody, thank you.
Awesome, guys.
We really appreciate you listening to End of the Drought podcast. Sorry we missed you last week. Hopefully we can get you next week on, a week where we're going to have,
a little more positive discussion.
The possible, guy on IR, and Jeff. But
I was wondering what you were going to say.
Yeah. But no, thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. Just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.